Canada. Holden, Colorado, with up to 500 newton meters of torque, it won't look new for long. Welcome to the Saturday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
We find ourselves at the Richard Marsland studio, Saturday afternoon style, midday. Make an appointment, put it in your diary, you're always here. And for the next couple of hours, you'll be entertained, let me guarantee you of that. For Holden, let's go there. And of course, our marquee sponsor, McDonald's, Jared Rivers, to join us shortly. Nick and Jack Revolt. We've got the quiz, of course. What the hell? A nice serving there. And I look around the room. Yeah. I can see the beautiful Hose Mary, who's here every week and does a sensational job. Of course, we've got yourself, Spud, and the Purple Letter Warrior, newsbreaker extraordinaire. And we appear to me, Purple, to be a touch light on.
Where is he?
Where's
Unobrow? We saw him at 2 a.m. this morning when we got off a plane, what's happened since?
Well, I don't know. Has he gone into hibernation? We're not sure what he's doing. He's not here speak.
He's grumpy at the moment, isn't he? It's the halfway mark of the season. He gets a bit grumpy.
He was last night.
We've done, of course, and he gets grumpy when other people don't front. Yeah. So we need to, this is the Triple M way.
I copped it last week.
You did, and of course you copped it the week before.
I went to Eddie Had instead of the MCG. So it's just not good enough.
We need to address it. We'll front on it, which is how we operate. And we got him on the phone. Wolf.
What?
Where are you?
What? Come on, mate.
12 o'clock last time I checked.
Well, Gary, this set up long enough. I just need you to appreciate what life's like without me there.
Mate, it's not Little Bourke Street, Gaz. I copped it last week. Left, right and centre, backed over the bus 20 times, and now a week later, you're late, mate.
No, I'm not late at all. Unlike you, Spud Regis, I organise a short, extended period so I can go and watch a very important rugby match, which my son's involved in, Xavier versus St. Kevin All Blacks. they're not winning. So I said to Snorkel, I need half an hour. And I guess I do put my hand up, and I promise you, like we all will, I will never have a break during the season. I'll never take a weekend off. I will push every single week, but I did ask for 20 minutes and I was granted it. Anyone else having a break this year?
Gary, you can't pick and choose.
You can't.
You've got to be here if you're going to be here. That's how we operate at Triple M.
Well, I won't come in at all.
We want you to come in.
And don't use your kid's sport as an excuse. I've got four. I've never seen him play a minute of any of it.
That's right. I've got three daughters. Woe is me. Suck it up, mate.
Tell you what I'll do then. I'll forego the 20 minutes, but I'll have a weekend off and go to Bali instead.
Good.
Bring that cardigan. Make sure you wear that cardigan over there for the war last night. What's that bag of crap?
I'll go to Bali.
There's half a merino lamb hanging on your shoulders. What were you doing?
Hey, Spud, you got your flares pulled up around your neck with your white socks on again?
Come on, mate.
are you coming in, Gaz, or what?
Yeah. Well, you got food organised?
It's on its way. McDonald's is coming soon.
McDonald's coming.
Beautiful. I'll be there. Don't worry about that.
It was nice of you to give Duke and I a lift home last night too, which we appreciated.
That was good.
How did Chua go, guys? How did Chua go in the jet? Must admit, I heard his little squeaky voice, and I thought, what's he doing over there? He's on the jet.
Never seen a man more comfortable in those surroundings than Chua.
Did he have wood?
For about 8 hours. It was a nice trip. Got home and I'll talk about our leader when I get in there and what sort of operator he is.
That needs to be told. Yeah. That does need to be told, guys.
I will give you the full story. So I'm only 10 minutes. Oh, it depends on traffic, I guess. But
can you bring flat white up,
mate? I'll say this, bud, in preparation for Gaz getting here, is we had some challenges leaving Adelaide. Yep. There was only one man in the travelling group that had a scintilla of positivity about him. One.
Was it?
Everyone else just descended into this woe is me pit of hell. So man said, we're going to be all right.
But that one
Let's find
that out, Spud, when he gets in after 12:30.
So what, they're having a whinge getting into a private jet.
I was shocked by it, I must admit. I couldn't believe it.
Ever heard the term having a dollar each way?
I was shocked by the negativity. I thought these blokes, leaders, maybe had been a bit more glass half full.
So, I was shocked by your capacity to just rub and wipe your hands of us and just go your own way until things change.
You did do that, Jim.
I forcibly made things change. That's what leaders do.
Hey, you do change the wind a bit, JB. Last week, you couldn't cop it on Monday when we had a go at
it's a touchy subject.
I couldn't cop the fifth time you've gone with the same garbage. I just said, Spud, you've got to be better than that.
No, I'm
this
not.
This is just, you've just hit replay and hit the same stuff again.
But you said you would never do it. But anyway, I'm not going to go over old ground.
Sometimes. Yeah, you just did. This is the sixth time.
You sort of did, Spud.
Get your head out of JB's backside.
What are you doing?
Yes, it is.
It's never up his.
It's JB or
so Gaz. Here comes the first bit of feedback, of course, from the Wolfpack. Quote G Lion last week, I think I'm the only one who's rocked up on time every week. You're already pointing it out, Gary. These are your people.
Come on, Gaz.
You ask Big Nose if this is a...
That's Matty Northidge. He's just pointing it out. One of your members.
He's not a member of the pack.
He's an infiltrator.
Gaz, it's not the same without you,
Dave,
mate.
Dave says the leadership group at Triple M 40 need to make a stand. The tardiness of recent weeks is unacceptable.
We'll have a 6 a.m. base swim soon, Gaz.
They've come for you.
I said I'll be there at 12:30 and I'll be early as always.
Flat white decaf, mate, on the way out.
Yeah. All right, off you go, warrior.
All right, we'll get the Wolf in shortly. And that will be very, very nice. As I said, Jared Rivers to join us, Nick and Jack Revolt on the way as well. They're going to be in the Richard Marsland Studios, if you don't mind. Quiz, what the hell, it'll be a very nice serving. Now, with Jared Rivers, we're going to cover all of the Geelong stuff. So for Cats fans who are ecstatic, Spud, after last night, they bloody should be. They were fantastic.
What a win.
We'll get to them and we'll obviously pick the Wolf's brains too when he gets in here. But Port Adelaide, the interest to me. Because they went so wide all night, and Gaz picked it out with Chiefs straight away and highlighted it, like last week with the spare back for Collingwood. They were all over it before anyone else even realised the game had started. So what interested me is that they went so wide and stayed with it right up until about the 18-minute mark of the last quarter, Spud, when they were 28 points down, and then they finally decided to get dangerous.
I just couldn't believe the fact... Look, it was a throwback to the 90s, and we love 90s footy, but the amount of times Port, as you rightly said, went wide and then just dumped it high ball into a Geelong defence, Harry Taylor, Rivers, Corey Enright. Mm. I was just...
Domsey Lonergan.
And look, I was listening to your call, I was watching on the broadcast, so I couldn't believe the amount of times, and they had a little bit of time and space as well, but still dumped it in there, and stats aren't a big one, but this one really hurts Port, 61%. Disposal effectiveness versus 70. Now, that's a smacking.
Spud, what you just highlighted there was an issue all night, and Ken Hankley did address it in his post-match press conference last night.
I know we are a corridor team, but the opposition have taken it off us a little bit. You know, we know where we want to go and how we want to go about it. We've just lost a little bit of composure to still go there at the right times. We just haven't been able to get it in there when we need to get it in there. And, you know, as I said, a mistake makes us feel like we shouldn't go there again. That's not typical of us.
That's, that's a very good point he makes, but when he has a look at the review tape, he'll spew.
Especially goal to goal, behind the goal vision, because Spud, when Gaz and Chief pointed it out, and as a commentator, Duke and myself, you're basically following the ball, but when haven't got the call, you can sit back and see the broader ground. And Gaz, they pointed out how beautifully Geelong had got their defensive structures going through the middle, but there was no one for Port Adelaide to go to. They didn't have a player available in the centre of the ground. No one was ever there.
Well, you look at Rivers, Taylor and Enright, when they're in the best, you know Geelong are going to win because you're playing into their hands. I couldn't believe they'd even just slow it down a little bit, even if it means possessing the ball and then not getting as many inside 50s, but just hit the target because... Jay Schultz, he may as well not have been out there last night. I couldn't see on the broadcast, but the amount of times he struggled to win one-on-ones, but it was two-on-one.
But he was up the ground wasn't he? As you say, I know.
They actually structured up really well, the Cats, and you can say, they didn't win enough hardball, Port, but their midfield have got no connection whatsoever at the moment, Port.
Joe Beans, but if you look at this forensically now, after round 14 last year, and this includes a bye, Port Adelaide was 11 wins and 2 losses. Okay, it's round 14, 2014. From that moment, they've just won only 10 matches of their next 23, which includes last night. They limped into the finals. They lost the round 23 game. They won a elimination final, a semi-final, and then they've opened up this year with a 5-6 scoreline. I think we have to now look at that body of work, which is now 12 months old. That's not an isolated form line. That is now a body of work that stretches back all the way to round 14 last year. This team is not anywhere near a top four team, and it's actually in danger of missing finals, Spud.
Well, it is. There's no doubting that. And Ken Hinckley, for the first time in his coaching career, is now earning his pay. And look, he's earned his pay in the first 2 years, don't get me wrong. But now we find out a hell of a lot more about Port and the coaching of Port, because it's very winning can wallpaper over cracks. And there's a couple of cracks there. I think Carlisle's really struggling. I think Schultz hasn't been the player. And their midfield, as I said, I keep getting back to the midfield, and that was one of their run and gun.
Have they been cooked too much in this Darren Burgess-led fitness regime, which was revered up until probably a few weeks ago? And it may have nothing to do with it, but are they cooked, Spud? Their run is not there, and now they've lost Matty White for at least a month with what looked to be a very serious hamstring. The fastest player, the man that does break lines regularly, has not been in great form anyway with injuries as well, but I just look at that team last night and they don't generate run the way they did when they got on their surge last year.
No, as I said, they're a little bit listless. It's not the Port we expected. And we all thought that Hawthorn game where they had a quarter from heaven.
Yep. Yeah.
But I think, again, that wallpapered maybe over a few cracks. I think everyone thought that, and every side can have a quarter of football like that. And Hawthorn nearly actually won the game.
Well, they played a kamikaze brand, didn't they?
It was. And look, everything they touched turned to gold. And as I said, I think they may struggle to make the final eight, which would be at the start of the year. I think most pundits, me included, would have them in the eight, even the top six. So I think we'll know a lot more on another. I think they've got Carlton in the bye. So they're probably going to go to the bye squaring the ledger. What have they got after that, Warrior?
Yeah, after the bye, they've got Sydney at the SCG, Collingwood at the Adelaide Oval, and then the showdown again. So yeah, they've got Essendon, St Kilda, and Bulldogs.
If they don't win those three games after the bye, their seasons, you can kiss it goodbye, because now, as we speak, 13 wins and a pretty healthy percentage has to get you in.
Yeah.
That's the season we're having. So forget 12 wins, that won't get you in. It
won't guarantee you anyway.
Well, I don't think it will. I don't think it'll guarantee you. It might be 12 wins and a very high percentage, but the way things are unfolding, I think 13 wins will need you to get in the final eight.
I would have thought in their review, Spud, that Ken Hinckley would grab onto one bit of vision, and that was late in the game where Brad Ebert went streaming inside forward 50. I think he was only 48 out and almost directly in front on the run, and then dumped it into the pocket to a one-on-two where the ball was just spilled out of bounds. And he should be, and here's me telling Ken Hinckley what to do, but review review vision and go, A, Brad, what the hell are you doing? You know, you're streaming to goal. We're actually surging and trying to get ourselves
a
look at stealing this game. And instead of kicking the goal, which is what a really good midfielder should do, and he is a really good midfielder, you look sideways to a one-on-two, and what the hell was the bloke doing leading over there anyway? But you kick into a pocket, the ball's out of play, the Cats can reset, which they did, and hold the footy in. When they were playing at their best, they had this great dare, this great risk-taking, this great emphatic run from behind, throw caution to the wind, and it really sat good teams hard on their ass because they didn't know what the hell Port were going to do. Whereas last night, they were so predictable for nearly the whole journey that Geelong, Wolf said it on about 10 occasions, Chris Scott will be sitting in the box with smoke in the pot. He just can't believe they're playing into his hands.
As I said, I was watching the broadcast and listening to you boys, and as I said, the Chief and Wolf nailed it because that's the, like, as I said, we sit there and watch it and you think, well, they might have to make a change, and the gun and run's not there. And as we said, they had options last year in the running from behind, but it's just a lacklustre team at the moment. The other thing I wouldn't mind, and you guys are at the game, Stanley and Blitzarves in the ruck together versus Lobie. Geelong are getting one away with the umpires at the moment because you've got to actually nominate. I was led to believe you actually nominate who's in the ruck, but I think they got away with a couple last night. I don't know.
You can be third up though, can't you?
You can be third up, but
so I think they're using Blitzarves as a third up often, and to great effect.
Great effect, and as I said, Stanley and him together, It's something that whets the appetite for all Geelong supporters.
Just hope Stanley's foot is not too bad. We'll ask Jared Rivers soon if there's an update on that. But it just didn't look good when it happened on the dugout.
He was on
last
fire,
night.
Though, wasn't he?
He was on absolute fire.
Hey, last night I thought the Cats were unbelievably good. And the back half especially, Corey Enright just rolled the clock right back. And this man, Jared Rivers, was absolutely sensational in what was a great win on the road. He joins us now. Jared, welcome, mate.
Yeah, morning, guys. How are we?
Well, the back half for the Cats has always been a fascinating thing because you ping the ball around and take probably more risks than others, but I thought last night it was just back to doing everything right and your game was sensational.
Yeah, mate, it was a good win. We knew it was a big game for us as a footy club, and to come and have a win over here against Port with 47,000 screaming fans booing you, it was a good feeling, and we played well for four quarters, which we needed to do, so it was a great win.
Well done, Jared. It was an outstanding game by everyone, but I was just watching it on the broadcast, obviously, how much room some of your defenders had at times, and Port just dumped it in. It was it played in your hands somewhat.
Yeah, it did. We had to focus, you know, during the week, that we saw how they liked to move the ball, and I think structurally we set up really well and tried to lock it in there, and if they did kick it forward, they did tend to rush it a fair bit. So, and Corey Enright had her on the string. So, all the boys played their role and we did it well.
Look, I reckon you're in just about career-best form, Jared, and you got the likes of Enright and Taylor. It must be great playing in a back half knowing that you've got great connection with each other.
Yeah, it is, but it's great. Third year now, and I feel like I'm really a part of it now. And I feel, you know, I'm 30 years of age, but I feel like I'm still learning. And like you said, those guys around me with Enright and Lonergan and Taylor, and also the young boys you've got down there as well. We've got a really good mix at the moment. So hopefully we have a big game next week for Corey's 300th, and hopefully we can kickstart our year after the bye.
Let's segue it into my next question. And on a personal note, Corey Enright, he has to be one of the modern day great halfbacks of the last 10 years. Is it just his ability to read the play, or is he really professional on and off the field? He must be, obviously, but to play 300 and have the CV he's got, it must be great to be able to stand side a guy who's, you know, a very quiet achiever on the outer, but the inner sanctum, he's obviously very well respected.
Oh, he is, but he's one of those guys that everyone loves, and I think, like you said, the way he barely misses a session, he's always out in the track training, and for what he's achieved has been fantastic, and I reckon still people underrate him externally, but like you said, internally we really respect him and regard him as one of the best players, especially of all time at the Geelong Footy Club, but also in the AFL.
Jared, just back onto yourself, your personal past 5 or 6 weeks, would you argue, or could you argue, that they're amongst the best you've put together in your entire career?
Really good the last 4 or 5 weeks, and probably just enjoying my footy more so, and along with that, you just grow in confidence, and I feel like I'm pretty confident at the moment. Settled in really well, and we're playing really good as a back line. We've probably kept that same 6 or 7 each week, so that definitely helps us as a team, but also helps me knowing my teammates around me and that type of stuff. So, just really enjoying it.
Triple M Footy talking to Jared Rivers. We were fascinated last night, Jared, to watch how you deprived Port Adelaide of the middle of the ground, structured to make sure they couldn't transition it through there. But we're also probably surprised that they allowed that to happen and went so wide so often. Sitting back where you are on the ground, you get to see the whole ground. Were you as surprised as we were?
Yeah, like I said, we really had a look at how they moved their ball during the week, and we knew they liked to, try and switch the ball as much as they can around us. But we knew we had to, defensively we set up really well, and we probably allowed them just to go a little bit skinny, which we'll set up really well with Harry and that back there and Corey. So they're a dangerous team, and when they get it on their terms. But I think the four quarters we structurally set up really well, and every player played their role, which we need to do.
It's a shame Stanley went off with a knee. I just reckon the modern-day ruckman, you look at big Goldie at North, but you've got two outstanding athletes in Blitzarves and Stanley. It's sort of rewriting the copybook for ruckman, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? I think everyone's starting to think, we might have to get a few of these boys in our team because they're so explosive as well after the ruck contest. So they're just adding on another extra on baller to your team. So the way they spread away from stoppages and that type of stuff really helps us. And yeah, they're both powerful athletes and, you know, they really had a good start to the year for us.
Jared, have you got an update on Stanley's foot condition this morning?
Nah, mate, to be honest, I've no idea. He was icing it last night after the game and he, yeah, probably recessed today and get a scan probably, you know, in the next few days. But, yeah, I've got no idea.
And anything you can add to the James Kelly situation with his leg injury?
Yeah, no, I thought he looked all right after the room. He was pretty upbeat. I think he's just tweaked his ankle, I think he said. So, yeah, nothing too serious, I don't think, at this stage. So, yeah, he'll probably get scanned as well during the week and hopefully it's not too bad.
Hey, Jed Buse has turned into a footballer for you. We all watched him with great interest when he came in, obviously son of and all the rest of it, but he's holding his own nicely.
Yeah, he's great, JB. He's had a really good year and I think we needed a guy that could take those small forwards with our back line, and he stepped into that role really well and loves just being in a contest and taking the game on. So he's growing in confidence every week, and we needed to keep playing well because there's, you know, some tough games coming up, and I think he just enjoys the challenge, playing on the best small forward every week, which is great for him.
You've got some tough challenges, and obviously beating Port last night, they're probably one of the teams that you're up against to make the final eight, and hopefully you get up there sooner rather than later. But it's great to see your percentage in the positive after what was a sluggish start.
Yeah, we had definitely a tough start to the year. And, you know, we've got a few injuries as well now, which makes it hard. But like you said, we knew it was a massive game for us. We're both 5-5, and to get the win last night, and we got Melbourne next week as well. So if we hopefully have a couple of good weeks and get a couple of wins in a row, and then we can kickstart our year and hopefully have a good second half.
Speaking of the injured blokes, Bartell is one, Duncan's another. You've got upside in the back half of the year if you can get them all back and healthy.
Yeah, no doubt, JB. We both those guys are pretty crucial to our team and structure. So Mitch was flying before he had the injury, and Jimmy's great back there. He can play in multiple roles. So no doubt, hopefully we can get them back midway through, and they can be some good form.
And what about yourself, mate? Through. We keep hearing news that as well as you're playing, you've got a knee issue that might just make you have a look at things. Where are you at, please?
Yeah, no, I'm just I haven't really made a decision as yet, but. Yeah, it's just an ongoing thing, but the club's been really great, the way they manage me and stuff. So at this stage, I'll probably have to sit down with the coaching staff and the medical staff at the end of the year and decide what I want to do. But at this stage, I'm just really enjoying playing footy and winning footy, so it's great.
And Joe, just everyone's got observations on where you're at, and I know the word transition is being used, but you see what happens last night against a real challenger, and do you have the feeling still that if it all clicks in a certain way, you can still go very, very deep into 2015?
Yeah, I think Scotty's had really coached well this year in a sense of bringing a few young boys in, and Darcy Lane, Corey Gregson, all those guys, usually still playing games of footy, so we're still putting young guys into the team that deserve a game, and and we're still winning games as well. So I think internally we've got pretty good confidence within the group that if we do get everything right, like you said, we could have a real crack at the end of the year. But I think this year more than any, it's very close each week. So there's no easy game. So you've got to be on your toes. Every week really.
Hey Jared, are you aware of all the credit Spud takes for the way you fold back and take intercept marks and sort of fold off positioning in the back half? And I know you're playing, you're not able to hear the commentary, but we're getting pretty tired of it.
Well, we did come down in the Melbourne days, we did come down there, and I don't know if you can call it drill Spud, but he was more so with his mate James.
Jared,
just a family focus.
I taught you how to compete, mate. Don't about the drills. It's about competing and having a contest. Don't about this intercept marking on your own, mate. The thing that I'm liking about you is you're doing both.
Yeah, I know. And you should take all the credit.
No, I'm not taking all the credit, Jared. Don't tip into JB's crap, Jazzy.
Look at you're the, better than that. The head wobble on him now.
You're better than that, Jared.
I'll look up to you, Spud, and the way you went about it back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. Right.
admired you enormously last night. It was a terrific individual performance, but also as a club. To go to the Portress and take the points from Port Adelaide in the comprehensive fashion you did was just terrific. So well played. Good luck with everything coming up.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jared Rivers, good young man and a very good player.
Good on you, Jared. You're a bit tired, mate.
Why?
Well, my second question was, you're in career best form. And then your question was, do you think your last five or six games, you're in career best form?
What you don't do is listen to what they actually answer. I want to delve into your personal side of things.
No, if it was me, I've asked the same question a few times, but I asked Jared, do you think you're in career best form? And he fobbed it off because he's very humble.
Well, I got more out of him. My question got more out of
him. Your next question was, do you think your last five or six games was in career best form? Were your ears sewn on?
I don't think you answered it as well. Ask the question as well as I did.
You're a bit tired, mate.
He reckons he got more out of him, Spud.
No, he didn't.
No.
Usually do.
Our man's here.
He's back.
Oh, yes.
Here he's here.
Oh, you must have gone easy on me. Just walk in the car park, this bloke yells out, you better hurry up, mate. They're giving it to you. Thank you, buddy. Nice to be here. Yep. I listened to your summation of the game. Very good. Out on the fools.
Now, how many? Chua couldn't get them for
gives
us.
You an idea of how this game was played, Spud. It would be a world record out on the fools. And we'll try and drag out a heat map through the course of the week, although now the others will pinch that idea. But right where we were commentating was where all of the footy was played. Yep. I mean, look at the TV now. We're watching the replay. That is where Port Adelaide played all their footy, on the commentary side boundary from about half back to the forward pocket. So you can have a look at that. A great win from Geelong without Hawkins and Selwood at all influential. And they were both really quiet as you're ever likely to see them. So that gives you an indication of how they're sharing the load. And the
Kelly went off early.
Kelly was off.
Clark not available.
Yep. And Stanley, I suppose
no Bartel, no Duncan.
You mentioned Stanley and Blitzer as well. I think we had a look at this when it first came to light against Collingwood at the MCG, when Blitzer ran with Pendlebury, and we did say at the time that that's a ruck combination that's going to have other opposition teams scratching their head. And I tell you right now, Matthew Lobie's gone home last night and laid awake and just stared at the roof and said, what happened? Because he didn't know whether he was rucking against Stanley. He didn't know if he was rucking against blitz halves. And then on the spread, Stanley just ran like a midfielder. His handball receives were through the roof. He had six clearances by half time, Stanley, playing in the ruck. Lobie had three touches. And the combination of the two of them, you're absolutely right. And the reason that umpires want you to, so they'll stop, before they ball it up, they'll say, who's going up? Which sounds very under 12. But the reason they do that is because the umpire needs an exit.
Yep.
So once he puts the ball, bounces the ball, he says, well, I'm going back here. I need to know who's, you two are going up. All right. Well, that's because I'm going back there. That's why they do it. And that, but that's where it stops. Because once he bounces it, as long as it's been identified, there's no rule that says you can't have a third man up. And there was a classic play, I think it was the first quarter.
Yeah, it was.
And so Stanley had identified himself as the ruckman with Lobie, and they went at it. And as the ball got thrown in, Stanley took a step behind. Blitzarves came in, flipped the ball over the back. Lobie was still looking for Stanley. Stanley standing a metre behind him. Blitzarves flips it over the back. Stanley got it, grabbed the goal. And poor old Matthew Lobie's running back in the middle going, well, what am I supposed to do? It absolutely had him stuffed.
And what is he supposed to do, Gaz? And what will other ruckmen have to do in that situation?
Well, whoever's on Mark Blitzars in that situation can't allow that.
That's right.
And so I think he was going to Boak early, he was going to Wines early, but you just have to be so on your game now. And it's a fine line too, because then umpires will be looking at it and say, well, you can't block the run.
And therein lies the problem, because not every player can go with Blitzars.
No.
Can go with either, mate. Mm. If it was a 3K time trial, Blitzars wins by the length of Flemington Straight.
540.
Second comes Stanley.
540 for Blitzars. 2K.
And Stanley's
second.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be far behind. And Stanley's the strongest player at the club. So it's all good and well having and this is why I love what I saw last night, it's having these weapons at your disposal, but then you've got a coach to expose it. And you've got to put a system in place that says, well, we've got these two freakish athletes who both are 6'7" and over. Mm. How are we going to do this so it exposes the opposition? And they're doing it beautifully. And then they put in place, of course, the game plan that denied Port Adelaide the corridor.
That interests me, Gal. I want to pick your brains on that, because I spoke earlier about the review on Monday and the behind the goal vision that Ken Hinckley will likely use. Mm. But my suspicion is that before he goes in to the players with that vision, he'll grab his assistant coaches and say, before we split these blokes down the middle for not making themselves available through the corridor, let's look at 10 bits of behind the goal vision where there wasn't one in there.
Yeah.
Mm. Because we can't ever go at them for not taking a corridor option when there's no player in there in the first place. And he's got to get, I imagine, to his assistants and say, how is this possible that we don't have one player within the corridor of the centre of the ground?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting problem given the fact the circumstances of Monday as well, and Roosie's explanation for what we all thought was different, right? And he's saying, well, we've told them. They didn't do it. Yep. Now, from our point of view, I don't know if he got a bit upset. We weren't calling him a liar,
no.
But we're saying, well, mate, it didn't look like that. Mm. It did, what you're saying didn't look like unfolding at all. So what they would be saying to themselves is, okay.
I think he did dirty up too, Gaz.
No, well, that's the right of coaches. They can do that. Broadbent was a player behind the footy. We identified that early. Had a lot of footy spud, I reckon, in the first quarter. You could have a look. But what he was doing, I would say, in the end.
At nine.
In nine possessions. But he was very much positioned for the ball coming in, but not so much for the ball going out. And there was ball up after ball up right in front of us. Remember I was saying it. I'm saying, well, they win possession of the footy here and they look inside. Your point is spot on. No one.
Not one option.
No one. So Broadbent had to move himself maybe 20 metres inside the corridor. So then he had the kick down the line covered. If Geelong won the stoppage and the kick down the line, he could still get there as a third man. But the minute the Boak wins the stoppage in front of us, he's got a 20-metre lead on anyone else in the corridor. And then Matt, perhaps Boak and that are more inclined to go there.
All right. So the two things that I found, I had first live look commentating at Port Adelaide for the year. The two things that astounded me, Gaz, and you and Chief pointed out straight away, and everyone was able to see from our magnificent position up the top there, how that corridor wasn't working. But the second thing was just to throwing it on the boot out of stoppages. Yep. Time after time, and Ollie Wines was probably the worst exponent of it.
Yep.
If you contrast that to how Geelong handled winning the ball in a stoppage, there was a beautiful one right in front of us where Stevie J just held and held, and then someone became available and he hit him with a handball. Guy was clear, looked up, a positional kick at least to a one-on-one where you're a chance to halve it and bring it to ground.
Yep.
The old throwing the boot on the ball, if you look back at the 1989 grand final, That's what used to happen out of stoppages. Yeah. But we don't see that anymore.
No, you picked it up magnificently, and it's almost one of the forbidden sin is just to belt it on the boot, because clubs set up for the pressured kick behind the footy. That's why inside 50s aren't such, you know, I know Damo's been on this for a long time, they're not that worried.
And head wobbling on the back of it too.
Because as long as you've got pressure on the at the stoppage, any rush kick out works in your favour. So what you see, and you talk about Geelong last night, but what you see with Hawthorn and Sydney particularly is the amount of time they flick the ball in traffic, like in as tight a space as this, which is a 2 metre square, they'll go bang, bang, bang. None of them are the right hand ball because they're under pressure, but eventually it moves. It moves until it opens up for you. And that's as opposed to just going bang. Ollie Wines, kicking efficiency spud last night. I mean, he was great, tried his guts out, but you under pressure, he just gave it away. And what did he kick at?
Well, disposal efficiency even worse, 46%. So that's counting handballs. So you'd have to
I haven't got my book, 20%.
Well, you'd have to at least halve it, because handballs, as you know, normally hit the target.
So there's another reason, you know, and this is the age-old debate. Do you have one behind the footy, which in this case was Broadbent, or after all that rushed kick, all that rushed disposal that was playing, I heard Spud, I mean, Enright, Rivers, Taylor. They go, give us slow ball high.
Mm. And that's we'll been there for the last 8 years, though. Yeah.
So after they've given four or five of those away, this is the decision for the coaches. They say, right, let's get Broadbent, our extra, up at the stoppage. And the message goes out, says, no kicking, rush kicking. We've got an extra at the stoppage. Therefore, we flick it round by hand, share, because we're outnumbering them, until we get into space and we can deliver with our eyes down. And that didn't happen in the end. And that's a decision, I guess, that the Port Adelaide coaching team will have a look at.
Spud, you look for reasons when a team is doing what Port Adelaide is doing. Is it too simplistic to look at the exit of Philip Walsh to the Adelaide senior coaching role and the entry of Michael Voss to this situation? Do we delve deep into that? Do we need to? Is it just a quirk of the situation?
No, you probably do, and that's taking nothing against Voss. But Walshy obviously had the midfield playing better. And Vossi's come in, and they're not playing as well. So, but I think it still gets back to Ken Hinckley. I think you're going to have stoppages, and I can understand your point. But Walsh is a big loss. Vossi's probably still finding his way there as a midfield coach, and he's been a senior coach and a champion player. But it starts at the coalface, and Gaz hit the nail on the head. The amount, and I couldn't see on the broadcast. That's why I was getting frustrated, because they dumped the ball in, and next minute you saw an outnumbered Port player forward of the ball nearly every time. Now, that's your forward line coach as well. Whether the half forwards were just getting lazy and loitering up near the stoppage, I don't know. But I reckon Gaz, again, was spot on that Blitzarves and Stanley, whoever's on them, or either or, needs to have a good look at themselves, as JB said, because that really did confuse a lot of their players out there.
And what about the weather we're having, by the way? Absolutely magnificent.
Cold.
Here in the best city in the world.
Cold.
Well, because it's high cloud cover, Gary, and it's this time of year. But
speaking
the
of high cloud
shining,
cover, I'll give you a high cloud cover.
Sun's
and
shining.
Cloud cover.
Now, let me just paint the picture.
Well, as long as you stick to the truth, because you're a bull artist.
Let me just paint the picture.
I'll tell you who's telling the truth.
I know who Spud will believe.
Oh, well, of course he will, because
he's my man.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this is what happens, Spud. So this the little plane takes off from Moorabbin.
Yeah.
Right? So Jim was late, but he said, "I need you to drop me home after the flight at 12:30." Right? And I said, "Well, okay, Jim, but you are in South Yarra. I'm in Hawthorne."
Yeah, right on the way.
Warriors in Albert Park.
Yeah.
And Chiefs in the city.
Albert Park's near the water.
So they go, Moorabbin can go South Yarra to Albert Park or South Yarra to the city easily. Yeah. South Yarra back, Hawthorne.
You're backtracking.
We're backtracking.
Backtracking.
So I said, and he goes, nah, that's what's happening. And anyway, went on and carried on. So we finished the game. We walked to the plane. We get on, and our pilots, pranksters, they got a bit of fun about it. And they said, "Bad news, boys. And Moorabbin is fogged in."
Oh, no.
Right? And now our face just dropped. My face dropped.
Oh, you should have seen him. Sook it up. Chief,
I nearly started crying.
Puppy dog eyes.
They said, "We're going to have to land at Tullamarine, and then you're going to, we wouldn't get there till 12:30. Then you're going to have to get a car or a taxi from Tullamarine to Moorabbin to pick your car up and then back home." And of course, Warrior, Snork, myself, and Chief, we nearly started crying. Right? We're thinking that's going to be another hour in the taxi at that time of the night. And I turn around and there's over there with the other smack pencil neck, Darcy, who also didn't have a car, sitting there looking at us with the biggest smile on their face going, "Oh, well, we haven't got a car, so you can drop us off on the way out to Moorabbin."
He actually said Tullamarine's a better option for me anyway.
That's exactly what he
said. You did say that to him.
JB, you're the leader.
Let me tell you what happened.
That's exactly what he said.
I look at this man saying that Moorabbin's fogged in, and then I look at the jaws just hit the deck. I thought there was more resilience in this group, by the way, but it was just instant sooking
not
up.
Time of night.
So then I turned around, Spud, and I said, "We'll be right. I'm telling you to lift."
No,
and then I hear from him and Chief, "Well, fog's never lifted in the history of fog. Can't lift. When was the last time fog lifted, you dickhead?" I said, "I'm telling you, we're going to be all right. We'll land at Moorabbin."
You did say that, Gary.
How much of an idiot you are.
This is the point, right?
Fog's never lifted since it's invented, you dickhead.
I did say that. I had a slump.
I had to lift him up.
But the bottom line is, Jim's in a win-win, mate. Yeah, it doesn't matter for him.
Lose.
And he goes to Tullamarine, he gets a nice taxi to South Yarra, and he's in bed. It goes to Moorabbin, he's going to jump back on our band. So in the end, I said, "Righto."
Yeah.
So the plane's flying. I said, "You decide right now, smack. You are either with us or against us." He goes, "Well, if we go to Tullamarine, you drop me off." I said, no, mate. If we drop to Tullamarine, you come all the way to Moorabbin with us and we'll drop you back.
And that's probably not a bad point.
And him and Darcy are just sitting there going, so that was all right.
Spud, tried to threaten not to take us.
3 minutes
before we get to
the outskirts of Moorabbin, the pilot goes, "Good news, boys. Fog's lifted.
Jimmy leadership in a game."
No. So we go.
I like JB's positivity at the start.
Positive. Yeah, so he couldn't lose. For us, it was a life change.
It wasn't leadership.
So it's not a life change.
A life changer. I'm telling you, a life changer.
Talk about precious.
I don't get driven around in cabs. So I said,
"Our audience are nearly running off the road."
I said, "Good on you." I said, "Good work, Jim. That is good news.
Leadership.
Good luck. You and Duke get the taxi at Moorabbin Airport at 1 o'clock in the morning."
The positive waves I sent out changed the weather.
You're
a turd. That's what happened.
That's what
you are. So in the end, did you actually drop him off?
Of course he did.
I took off.
Of course he did.
Dropped me off. Spud, he was always
dropping me off.
There was a bit of theatre, Spud.
I'll back Gaz on the fact that you chortled and laughed. It was landing at Tullamarine. That's a bit harsh.
I hadn't seen this sort of downcast behaviour
on the ground
from alpha males before.
Us like a dirty
chief's head can't implode anymore into his body. He's got no neck, so I can imagine the chief snorting and grunting.
I stated this on the plane. Even if Chief lived next door to me, I wouldn't get lifted in. So he was out of the equation. No.
And then we're driving down the Peen Highway, and Warrior and Snorkel kept pulling up at the lights, and Warrior's got his window down, wanted to talk to us still.
What about that?
What about this? And we said, "Warrior, Tapas won.
Ship off your boring master.
You've been together for 7 or 8
come
hours.
On,
yeah, that's no good,
stop
Warrior.
Stop talking to us, Warrior.
You know, they only taught you when you're on air, mate. You know. Well, that's for the time, mate, anyway.
Oh, no. And the whole time, little Chewer's head swiveling around. He didn't know what was going on.
As I said, he had wood, didn't he? Actually, he was that excited.
The other point. So news comes through that it's fogged in at Moorabbin and we get a bit flat and then we're thinking safety issues and Chewer gets a beautiful message from Mrs. Yes. Chew. I said, how are you going to cope with this, Chew? Because you're going to go another 3 hours out to Point Cook. He goes, oh, no, Mrs. Chew's just texted me and she said, oh, well, as long as you're safe.
Yep.
Oh, what a beautiful
How
thing.
Nice is that? The same message went to Mrs. B. She said, punch through the fog. Let's hope you run into 8 helicopters.
Same message went to my 3 boys and said, well, we'll split up your belongings exactly if it doesn't right. come off. That's about how worried they were.
That leads me into our pain threshold.
Yes.
Like you've got a high tolerance, had the vasectomy.
And of course, I split open playing golf and worked that
Jim's
night.
Got no pain.
High pain threshold.
We put our heads over the pill. Not all of us worry. you've got the pain threshold of a sneeze, mate. But anyway, it interests me during the week, Dave Grohl, who's an absolute one of Triple M's finest, the Foo Fighters, actually broke his leg on stage. Broke his leg on stage, and I can't believe that he said he'll be back.
Yes.
Now, all the audience would have been thinking, there's no way, no. When you break your leg,
it'd not be going where I think it's
No,
going.
It's not going anywhere, mate. It's just the fact is, he broke his leg and said he'd be back 20 minutes later.
Yes.
Have a listen to what he said.
I think I just broke my leg. I think I really broke my leg. You have my promise. Ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to fix my leg. But then I'm going to come back. And we're going to pray for you again.
So 20 minutes later, foot in plaster. And he came back and finished it off. So, Gaz, it's a look. I'm looking at you now.
Let me say,
we're all looking.
I'm pretty sure he's not playing his music while ACDC are trying to knock his head off at the same time. Non-contact sport, last I heard. And also, had I had the pre-game medication that Dave Grohl was taking, I wouldn't have been able to feel me leg spud.
No.
Come on.
We know he might have had a little bit of help.
A little bit. He didn't know he had legs.
He probably had a little bit of, I don't know, something in his coffee. A little bit of sugar. But
maybe back in
on the website.
Nevada
he actually
days.
Came back and sat down and played, guys. Yeah. So I think I just need to back over that one a little
bit.
And
I repeat. A blood test or urine test after the game and or the gig, you might find out while he's able to do that, Jim.
Well, Spud,
that is true, Warren.
Spud wanted to go there because it's one of those ones, Gaz, where we just
can we bring up
we're just concerned about you.
Can we bring up the vasectomy when?
Well, I lost my stitches.
No, we've done that last night.
We're not bringing that up.
Spud, I lost my stitches during the week.
Yeah,
Jim,
we don't care.
I want to talk about the fact that you've got a deposit.
into the test, you've got any live left.
Do
you want me to go with what happened to me?
Have a listen to what Spud did. You've got
to
take a sample.
I was in a hurry. And we've had birth to beautiful Keely, so I need to go. Three's enough.
You've had the vasectomy.
She goes, that's it, you're going in.
You've had the required amount of goes afterwards.
Had to do the... Well, Rosie, just close
sample.
Your ears.
Yep.
Sample in a little sort of beaker.
We're adult enough not to have to
Needed a couple of beakers, but anyway.
No. Come on, one beaker.
But I read the instructions to the letter.
You did, Spud.
You've got to put it in your back pocket and keep it warm. And you've got to deliver it to the centre within 20 minutes.
That's it. Right.
So I've got my Tigers gear on. I'm coaching the Tigers. Yep. I'm excited. I've got it in the back pocket. Gone to the centre.
Yep.
Put it on the desk.
Yep.
And the lady looked at me, Mr. Frawley, sit down. We'll have to come back. And then there's 15 people waiting.
You're in a hurry?
I'm in a hurry.
We're in your Richmond gear.
All I could hear, I've got my head down because it's quite embarrassing.
Yeah, of course it is.
And all I could hear was this laughing from three nurses behind the curtain.
I said,
this is a disgrace.
Mm.
What's going
on?
I said, Mr. Frawley, Danny, would you like to come up to the counter?
Mm.
And I sort of walked up and put the collar up. Mm. And he said, what do you want? She goes, this is a blood pathology.
No!
Case,
oh, no!
So I left it there, ran out, slammed the door. I said to Nota, that's it, no more of that. And we've, look, thank God we've had no more children, but I didn't know whether they were alive or dead.
You've gone to the wrong bank.
I went to the blood bank.
Oh, no.
So that's what happened, JB.
Well, Spud. You meant to have 20. No, well, I said to my bloke, that could be 3.5-4 years.
Shut up. The foot is on dribble.